It happens in a moment. There is a before and after. Exile comes unexpected. Exile is not being home. Exile is being outside of your normal. Exile is being outside of yourself. It is a difficult place to be. None of us really want it. It happens in a moment. A news story, a phone call, a sharp realization that nothing can be the same again. We are all there at one time or another in our lives. Jesus entered exile through his baptism that came just before the passage we heard today. He had left his home, a divine word was spoken, and all changed. It is the same for him and for us in this moment of exile. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, at least 40 days. 40 days in the Bible just means a really long time, a significant time, like 40 years in the desert. Lent is modeled after these 40 days. In Lent, whether we are currently naturally in exile or not, in Lent, we enter the wild with Jesus. We actually choose exile. We choose to exit our normal ways of being. We choose to wander. Lent helps us learn what we need to do in exile. Lent gives us tips for survival. We know the season of Lent in the church will end at the Easter Vigil at St. Patrick's service on April 11th. But exile, real exile in our life, goes on for days or weeks or months or years. Some people never seem to make it out. So we need to practice. We need to learn the way to deal with doubt or hurt, exclusion, depression, death, poverty, sickness, war, betrayal, all the notable ways that we find ourselves thrust into exile. We need the muscle memory to know that God is with us when we do not feel God, when we feel nothing. And a word about wilderness first. I've heard several voices recently, two from notable theological teachers, that spoke of the wilderness, the wild animals, as negative things signifying trouble. I think they represent the dominant view in our society. They see the claw and the tooth of the bear only, but there are other voices, usually voices outside of the city, local indigenous voices that say, the wilderness was our home and wild animals our relatives. I think that is true for most traditional societies. We should not labor under the illusion that desert times and wilderness places and exile itself is always bad. On the contrary, wilderness is often the only place where we can be truly healed. Wilderness and exile can be a womb that feeds us and allows us to be reborn. We should not be stupid in the bush. It is dangerous. But the wilderness is, and the place of exile is not an evil place unless we make it so. And so how do we see Jesus enter his 40 days of exile? First, we note that he does not run in the other direction. Jesus enters the wilderness willingly. He seems to have sense enough to understand that the wild places are not for his destruction, but for his training. The training will be difficult. The training will draw him to the bone, but it will not destroy him. It is the Spirit who has allowed it, even commanded it. And Jesus goes willingly. And so with us, when exile comes unbidden, when our family member dies, when we hear news of difficult things, when we find ourselves on a moment of great change, we do ourselves no service to delude ourselves that it is happening. We bring ourselves no good by denying the real feelings that well up in us. In your anger, do not sin, it is said, but be angry nonetheless. Enter depression with boldness when you have a good reason to be depressed. If grief has come upon you, grieve. Don't be the one who believes that death will have no, or loss will have no impact on you, or that you can walk away unscathed from traumatic events. Enter the wilderness. Get on that train. Don't make a fuss. Just go into exile. The season will be difficult. Gird your loins. It will challenge you. It will draw you down to the bone, but it will not destroy you. Jesus has gone ahead of you already. And what else do we see Jesus do in the wilderness? Well, for a long time, he seems to do nothing. And that is a good word to us in and of itself. He is just there. He just is. He doesn't build a house. He doesn't care where or if he sleeps. He doesn't eat. He must have drunk from a creek a little bit of water, or maybe a lot. But otherwise, he just exists. His body is where it is, and that is all we can say. In exile, our addiction to activity is distinctly challenged. In exile, our desire to prove ourselves with our stupendous productivity is exposed. There is literally nothing to do in exile. And the quicker we can learn that, the better. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have much to teach us about this in the way they traditionally face death. You have perhaps heard of the term sitting Shiva. It is what they do after a death, 7 days of just sitting. The mourners are free from any community or work obligations. The wider community and relatives bring food. The mirrors are even covered to show that appearance does not matter right now. Torn black cloth is pinned on clothes to show the tear in the mourner's heart. People sit on low stools, symbolic of the humility that comes in grief and death. What a beautiful and inactive way and healing way to mark a death. Likewise, I remember being called to visit a man and his family at the Mazankowski Heart Clinic. He was being disconnected from life support, and his family asked for a chaplain to come. Now, they were from a far northern community, and they explained to me that when this man would die, the entire community would shut down for a week. I find myself still wondering, could we ever stop long enough to just enter a death? What would it be like to live in a community that would make such a full stop and make that space to honor grief and honor the person and avoid busyness? The odd family I meet seems to pull it off, but many of us have no support systems, external or internal, to allow it. We live in a culture that leaves us with only 1 day a year when the Safeways actually close. I don't care anymore if stores are open or not on Sundays, but we need some days when we just stop altogether. Silence is a communal activity. We need to practice doing this in our families with some sort of weekly rest or Sabbath. We need to advocate for this in our organizations and workplaces. Some people even mark Lent, these 40 days, by limiting productive activities, not planning meetings, scorning busy work, making space for life to just rush in. In exile, our addiction to busyness is deeply challenged. As a third observation of Jesus' time in the wilderness, we need to recognize that he kept his spiritual wits about him. When I said earlier that we need to be willing to enter exile, this does not mean that we let ourselves become complacent, spiritually lazy, or slothful. We see Jesus actually sharper spiritually than he has ever been. We see him face to face with the unholy accuser, and he doesn't miss a beat. He is hungry from fasting, but he does not lower himself to fill his aching soul with false things. On some level, in some way, in the wilderness, he must have been at prayer. He must have given himself wholeheartedly into God's hands. How else would he have made it through? How else did he see the falsity of Satan's challenges? Jesus was dead set on the presence, power, glory, and provision of God. I have bread that you know nothing to eat, or that you know nothing about, Jesus says later in John's Gospel. He was fasting in the wilderness, but feeding his spirit. He was aimlessly wandering the land, but deeply situated within God's belovedness. Jesus was deeply attentive to the spirit in the wilderness. It was his power and courage as he faced all difficulty. We might strongly suggest that this desert experience, those 40 days he spent in the wilderness, were actually the seed of his strength and courage through the whole of his ministry and even his death. The wilderness was his strength. The wilderness was not a negative place for him. It was the center of his spiritual formation. And so with reflection and prayer, with spiritual wit, our own moments of exile may become the center of our spiritual formation. How many saints have become saints through suffering? How many of us have stories of God's provision in times of distress? It is how it can be, and it is how it often is. It is in exile that we may come to know God and God's power most seriously in our lives. But we need to say, may there, as in exile may train us for good. Because we know enough stories where people have avoided the wilderness, where they have made themselves busy and distracted the issue, where they have given up and given in to spiritual laziness instead of spiritual training. And to this day, they carry the wilderness around like a monkey on their back, weighing them down, or they exist in bitterness and unforgiveness. But it need not be so. Exile may instead be our place of healing and tenderness. Jesus is already there. Jesus has always been there. We enter Lent with hope and courage. We practice together wilderness and befriend it. We will be okay. The exiles we encounter in life, chosen or not, need not destroy us, but they may train us and sharpen our spirits and open for us the way of God in the wilderness. And we pray, may it be so. Amen.